Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Do you feel like you're the only young person who cares about your Catholic faith? Do you look around at Mass and only see silver foxes?
We're Jake and Kathy, a young adult married couple, and we're here to tell you, you're not alone.
That's why it's time to get Truth Pops.
You're going to get a podcast designed specifically for you, a young adult Catholic in a pop culture world.
The countdown is on for Truth Pop.
We'll connect Christ into culture.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. The Studio DNA Podcast Network.
John Schlitt started singing professionally when he was 13 years old. Made his mark in rock and roll with the band Head East. Joined Petra in 1986. A 20-year plus career with that band. Still singing, still recording music. Let's catch up with one of the iconic voices in Christian music, John Schlitt.
Beginning of time through eternity.
You are all I am, you are all I am.
You're a Midwest native, right?
I am a Midwest native, yeah. Central Illinois.
From birth until how long?
Oh, shoot. If you count St. Louis as part of the Midwest, I didn't leave Illinois until, 1982. No, I'm really not that old. Honest, for 32 years, Illinois, or Midwest.
What was your first exposure to music? You started singing pretty early.
Oh, yeah. I started singing when I was 5. For some reason, in my little school, I was the best singer, male singer, in the school. So I got to do all the recitals, you know, all the music. Our classes would have music class special presentations to the rest of school every year. And there was always music involved, and the lead was always me. So even back then, I realized maybe I could sing. But as far as professionally, oh boy, I think when I was 13. Yeah, I put together a band, and basically it was one of those things where basically showed everybody in the band their parts. And I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to do the lead singing, but nobody else would do it. So I played a rhythm guitar and sang. And that's where I started. And pretty much off and on my whole life.
You being a 13-year-old, I kind of got the bug around then, and I wanted to be in a rock band and play guitar. Who did you have your eyes on, John, that you went, I think I want to do that?
Beatles. I remember I had my 14th birthday, and it was a big deal because my parents allowed me to have a party, and everybody come, what would you like for your birthday? I said, just get me the new Beatle album, or get me I Want to Hold Your Hand single. That's all I care. And I mean, I must have got 13 Beatle albums and probably 8 singles. So I had to take them all in and trade them in to the closest music store we had, and it wasn't very good. So I got some oddball type of albums in return, but it helped me. You know, I did get the Beach Boys, and I got Jan and Dean, and got Ray Orbison. So out of those trade-ins, I got a few good records. So that was the beginning. And then from then on, believe it or not, back then it was sort of, it's gone full cycle. where singles were it. You'd go and buy a single. You wouldn't buy the album, which is sort of like now. I mean, kids don't, they don't zero into LPs or CDs. They zero into songs. And I see that as a total cyclic thing. Hopefully it's going to cycle back into LPs or CDs, because I really, when I do an album, I want to make sure there's not a single cut that's a throwaway. So I try to almost fashion it as a set, a live set, because I've been a frontman my whole life. And my job was to make sure the show went with a rhythm that was always interesting, didn't wear you out, but was never boring. And that's how I see an album. You know, we have slow songs, fast songs, and the structure of it's very important.
The choice of songs in what order?
The song order. Because I'm a rocker, let's face it, I want to start out with an exciting mode. And usually what you do, you try to do like one, two or three rockers in a row, and then you do a slow song, and then you do something else. You think of it as, man, if they're listening, three rockers in a row, they probably wouldn't mind a little bit of rest to their ears. And so you give them a slower song, and then you then go, okay, they've had, 3 to 5 minutes of introspective. This is a rock album. Let's go back to rock. You know, I call it peaks and valleys.
You're a Fighting Illini alumni.
Yes, I am.
I had no idea civil engineering was in your background.
Yes, sir. For 5 years, I actually used it. I tell you what, when I got fired from Head East, it was 1980, and because of my degree, I actually had a way to make a living. And when I got fired, I was, I figured, okay, I was out of music forever. Now it's time for me to use my degree. The hardest part of that was my resume said rock star. I tried to make it, flash it up a little bit, and they would see right through and say, well, tell you what, don't call us, we'll call you. So it was tough getting into it, but once I got back into the working system, I do remember there were times when it was not easy. But did I enjoy the work? Yes, it was okay. If that's what I would have been doing the rest of my life, it would have been okay, because it was decent work, and I was making a living for my family. And I'll be honest, just before I joined Petra, I thought this was the American dream. I thought this was it, and God, I think the second time he ever spoke to me, said, John, this isn't it. Don't be content. This is not it. Yes, you have a good church. Yes, your kids are going to Christian school. Yes, you have your first home that's complete. Your family's healthy. But this isn't it. This isn't it. And I looked at my wife that minute. It was a Sunday afternoon. And I said, babe, I feel like God just spoke to me and said, this isn't it. And I explained to her. She said, what do you think it is? I said, have no idea, because music in my mind was over. You know, I hadn't sang in four and a half years, 5 years. So it was like, I'm done. So I wonder what's next. And it was just, it was a profession that I needed to get a degree in, because I enjoyed it when I was doing it. Save my life, I'm going down for the last time. Woman with the
sweet love and bad. You're the vocalist on a couple of songs, in my opinion. If you're going to build a classic rock station or a quote-unquote oldie station, there's two songs that have to be in that library, and you're the guy on those songs. Was the rock and roll lifestyle in that season of life, John, everything that I've read it to be, was it just crazy?
Yes. And you know what? You could let it be as crazy as possible, and that's a problem. I did. I let it be stupidly crazy. And there were people in there totally business. They were smart. They didn't jump into all the garbage that you hear about. I'm afraid that I wasn't one of them. I was. Head East was a party band, and I say on the every time I talk about Head East on stage, I say, you know what? I went into the enemy's world without Christ. Did I know God? I believed in God. I just didn't know Christ. And there's a big difference in that. So I was fair game. And I walked into the den, and the temptations and the peer pressures and all that, I fell for it. I made a choice. I'm not going to play, oh, the enemy made me do it. I have a choice, and I'm afraid I chose a lot of bad. And another thing, you know what? when Hetty got in there, it was a musician's dream. It was our own album. Record companies came to us to do it, to sign up. It truly was a musician's dream. But you know what's weird is you get enough of the dream and it gets boring. That's where the booze started coming and the drugs and everything else you hear about. I was part of it. And so much so that in 1980, I got fired because I was too excessive.
I did not know that.
Well, it was a little bit of a power play, too. We, the leader and I, we were co-leaders, and the leader who won out, and I'm happy for him now, but he played it smarter than I did. And basically, through a contractual thing that we had just signed with a new management team, he was able to fire me. And it's as you look back in my life, I mean, it was the most best thing that could have happened to me. But at the time, it was absolutely, it totally blew me away. When everything is basically dependent on the band, you sacrifice everything, family, health, everything for the band, because you're going to do it until you make it big, and you're a millionaire, and you can come back and pay everybody back for it. And that was, you know, the typical enemy flashing the possibility of riches. Meanwhile, he's destroying my life. And but yes, you're asking, I'm sorry, I make a complicated question or answer to a simple question. Yes, everything you hear about rock back then, it was true.
If you grew up as a child in youth group in the 80s, it was a moral imperative to see Petra at least three times a year. I was a Petra fan, and I remember the summer of 1986 at Six Flags Great America, which I'm, as a Midwest native, I'm sure you remember, and it was Christian Music Day, and Petra's going to roll out this new guy, and our youth pastor was so fired up because he was a Head East fan, and he's like, this is going to be the greatest thing, and John, I was front row, and I still have the pictures on my little instant camera of you in the Back to the Street tour. How did that happen? Was there a tryout? Did you sing? Pull back the curtain for me.
Prophet came to our church also and prophesied to me that there was a big change going to happen. And I went, oh no, because I had been part of a mining construction company. And I got promoted into the main office, and I thought that was going to be the final move. And I could tell he meant I was going to be moving. And at that time, it meant moving to a project on the road. And I go, oh no. And he goes, no, it's going to be your heart's desire. And I'm thinking, what's that? Well, quickly after that, Bob Hartman called me through my brother, because he couldn't find my number. I was unlisted. And my brother called me, says, this guy named Bob Hartman wants you to call him. I says, you gotta be kidding me. Cause by that time I'm a big Petra fan. Through this time period, somebody handed me a Petra record and said, you will not believe it's that this album, or this band sounds just like your old band, but Christian. I said, yeah, right. And I listened to it and go, oh my gosh, this is what rock should be. And I had regrets right at that moment. Oh man, I've blown it. There's no way God could ever use me. I was so, when I was in secular rock, I was just too disgusting. And so I just sort of threw it out. And when he called me, I thought, well, maybe he wants, maybe Greg's voice is messed up on recordings and have me come in and sing background vocals. And, oh, yeah. I called him and he said, John, he says, are you still a Christian? I said, absolutely. I'm a new Christian. And make a long story short, he said, would you consider singing for Petra? I said, yeah, let's do it. He goes, don't you think you should pray about it? I go, yeah, okay. But I knew it. It took them another 3 months to figure it out. But what happened was they were on the Beat the System tour, or the live tour, which later became the live album. So I sat around for like 3 months going, okay, maybe they found somebody else. And they wouldn't call me. Finally, I called Kim, his wife. I said, Kim, is this still a possibility, or did you find someone else, or are you guys still trying people out and all that? Oh, and she goes, oh, John, well, Bob's on tour. I'll have you call him back. He'll call you back. I said, okay. And he called me, says, John, I'm sorry, we're on tour and I'm trying to get this over, and we have to sort of keep this hush hush because nobody knows we're splitting and all this. And I said, well, I understand, buddy. Are you looking for other people too? I a band your size, I figured. He says, no, actually, we're not looking for anybody else. I said, oh, okay. Well, just let me know, because I'm going to have to talk to my boss and let him know that I'm quitting if it happens. I guess after that, this was like in August of 1985, February 3rd, 1986, I'm singing with Petra for the first time. First time sober in 7 years, on stage in front of 6,000 people in Brisbane, Australia. And that was the beginning of an amazing almost 20 years. And it went so fast that it almost seems like yesterday. And so, you know, and God has shown me and has taught me so much. Still learning, of course. It's been amazing.
John, I don't want to pretend that there might be someone listening has never heard of Petra, has what? No access, you know. There might be people. You're going to need to pick a song, because we have such access to all sorts of music at our fingertips. I'm putting you on a spot in that two-decade-plus career. Pick a song that someone should go hear to hear your skill, your talent, and your message.
Probably Beyond Belief.
We're content to pitch our tent when the glory is evident. Seldom do we know the glory came and went. Moving can seem dangerous in this stranger's pilgrimage. Knowing that you can't stand still, you cross the bridge. There's a higher place to go beyond belief, where we reach the next plateau beyond belief, and from faith.
That song is so synonymous for Petra. There are way too many to try to pick. I mean, you just go, okay, what do you like to hear? Okay, that, okay, pick this. But Beyond Belief is probably the one song that I do to represent Petra in everything I do, from some of the secular shows I do. I do some of those from the Head East days. But I always do Beyond Belief to explain where I'm at now.
I listened to your most recent album over the weekend. Either there is some secret production magic sauce happening, or dude, you still have these heavenly pipes. You've taken care of them all these years. I mean, you still sound fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. I'm real proud of it. That record was a blessing. It took a year to do it, because the three producers I was using were all super busy. I was very busy, not like this year where I'm trying to figure out how to make a living. I am very excited about Go. Go is probably one of the best projects I've ever done, and that's in the Head East career, the Petra career. Go is exactly what I need to have at this moment. I'm very pleased with it. Thank you. I'm glad you listened to it, because I couldn't be more happy with it.
I love that you ended the album with Not Dead Yet. I found that humorous, too.
Thank you. It's supposed to be.
It's a foot stomper.
When you see me, you can say what you want.
And yes. As you and I are talking, I believe it's available for vinyl for the first time for a limited number.
Yes, it is. We have, I signed up with an individual who has access to this kind of technology, and we tried it out. The first 200 are a very special design. They have the LP itself is a blue and white. If you saw the front cover, you'd know why. It's gorgeous. I can't wait to get it. I got a call from yesterday. He says, it's on its way. So yeah, if you get a chance, just go to johnwschlitt.com or go to Schlitt Shop and order one. Like I said, there's 200, so I think they're probably going to go pretty fast, which is okay. And I don't think that it's going to be this design after that, unless it really goes really fast. And because they're so expensive, they're sort of a trophy piece for the folks that have really stuck with me all these years and wouldn't mind having one as a, you know, put on your wall type of thing.
You mentioned working with a handful of producers. It took a year, and I saw the name Dan Needham in the mix. Am I doing the correct family tree? Dan is a relative.
He's my son-in-law.
Your son-in-law. When I got into Christian music here, John, that name was everywhere.
Yep.
His secret sauce is on some amazing songs, even in the last decade.
Oh, yeah. Dan is probably on, I don't know, 40 to 50 percent of the major songs of Christian music. He's not just an amazing drummer. He is he's a fantastic producer. He is a programmer. He plays guitar. He sings great. Half the vocals you hear on my new album is him singing. He is a blessing to the family. He's a great father, a great husband, a character. He's the character of our family reunions. I'm just very blessed to have him as a son-in-law.
One last favor. Would you take a moment to just encourage those who are listening right now in the times that we're living in?
I would like to speak to both Christians and folks that have never discovered the faith. And first of all, we Christians, please understand we're not lone soldiers. Our faith is not disappearing, even though it looks like it might be in this country. It's growing all over the world. Christ is coming into the lives of many. Stand strong. We're part of a growing family. Remember, we're the ones with God walking before us, opening the way. We just have to choose to listen. Choose to listen. Don't waste opportunity of working with the God of the universe. Now, for people that aren't part of the family, why not? Why are you trying to face this world by yourself when you've got a God who loves you so much, he died for you and is just waiting for you to understand that you have to admit you're a sinner? If you can't do that, well, then we're just wasting our breath here. If you want to know the perfect plan for your life, all you have to do is say, I'm a sinner. I realize that. And I ask Jesus Christ in my life. You never have to walk alone again. Never have to walk alone again. Is it going to be pieces of cream and perfect? No. But every time you face a challenge, you have to understand that no longer are you facing this challenge alone. You're facing with the God of the universe who wants to go before you and guide you by the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful way to live. In this world today, with all the challenges, with all the temptations, with all the peer pressure, why not face it with the God of the universe? Period.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.